Good evening from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 18. Yasmat Ksharam Atitoham.
Yasmat Ksharam Atitoham.
Aksharada Pichotamaham.
Aksharada Pichotamaham.
Atosmi loke vedeca.
Atosmi loke vedeca.
Pratita purushottama.
Pratita purushottama.
Yasmat.
Yasmat.
Because.
Because.
Sharam.
Sharam.
To the fiber.
To the fiber.
Atitaha.
Atitaha.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Aham.
Aham.
I am.
Aksharat,
Aksharat, beyond the infallible,
beyond the
Api,
Api,
also,
also,
Cha,
Cha,
and
Uttamaha,
Uttamaha,
the best,
best, Ataha,
Ataha,
therefore,
therefore,
Asmi,
Asmi,
I am,
I am,
Loke,
Loke,
in the world,
in the world,
Vede,
Vede,
in the Vedic literature,
in the Vedic literature,
Cha,
Cha,
and
Pratitaha,
Pratitaha,
celebrated, Purusha Uttamaha,
as the Supreme Personality,
as the Supreme Personality,
translation and work of Pati Dimitris,
Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami
Shraddha. Because I'm transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I'm the greatest, I'm celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as the Supreme Person. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, neither the conditioned soul nor the liberated soul. He's therefore the greatest of personalities. Now, it is clear here that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are individuals. The difference is that the living entities, either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state, cannot surpass in quantity the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is incorrect to think of the Supreme Lord and the living entities as being on the same level or equal in all respects. There is always the question of superiority and inferiority between their personalities. The word Uttama is very significant. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Loke signifies in the Paurusha Agama, the Smriti scriptures. As confirmed in the Nirukti dictionary, Loke Tevedato Nena. The purpose of the Vedas is explained by the Smriti scriptures. The Supreme Lord, in his localized aspect of Paramatma, is also described in the Vedas themselves. The following verse appears in the Vedas, Chandogya Upanishad, page 12.3. Avadeshasam prasados, mach charirat samudaya, param jyoti rupam. Sampadya svena rupana jinish padyate sautama purusha. The super soul comes out of the body, enters the impersonal Brahma jyoti. Then in his form, he remains in his spiritual identity. The Supreme is called the Supreme Personality. This means that the Supreme Personality is exhibiting and diffusing his spiritual effulgence, which is the ultimate illumination. That Supreme Personality also has the localized aspect as Paramatma. By incarnating himself as the son of Satyavati and Parashara, he explains the very knowledge as Vyasadeva. In verse 16, Krishna is speaking about two types of living entities. He's speaking about the fallible and the infallible. He's speaking about the eternally conditioned entities which are in the material world, and he's speaking about the eternally liberated entities which are in the spiritual world. Then after Krishna in the text 17, which is before, is adding another category, he's adding the super soul, he says, this is none of these two. And then he's, in this verse, he's adding even more, he's adding the Supreme Person, which is even higher category. Sometimes people, when you think of the person, he thinks, so this person must be like all the other persons, I must be certain. We have a friend, it's inconceivable for him to say that Krishna is a person. Okay, but you, I understand, but it's not a person,
Yes.
Right. It's hard for us to understand what it means to be a supreme person. But that's what the Shastras say. So it's clear that there's a supreme person, and which is the same as in quality, but never same in quantity. So you can never put an equal between the individual person and the supreme person, which is very there's this idea that you can become God. You do some meditation and can become God. Okay. That's this here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, no, you can't. Because there's different categories. There's this living entities and there's God. So you cannot become. If you're not God already, because he's already eternal. So, and of course, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Person is the source of Paramatma and is the source of impersonal Brahman. And in the last phrase of the purport, Srila Prabhupada chooses to explain something which, for me, when I read the purport, I was like, what does this have to do? Speaks about how Krishna incarnates the Srila Vyasadeva to give this knowledge. Okay. Good. And this is very interesting because two verses after this verse, Krishna says, this is also very confidential knowledge, very confidential. And Krishna says in many places throughout the Bhagavad Gita that this is very confidential knowledge. And it's really interesting how to understand that this is confidential. And when you think of something confidential, it's like something that it's a secret, you know, like nobody had. There's a secret somewhere in a dungeon. There's this knowledge, and you cannot go there because there's 10,000 guards and so on, and you have to do that and that to get to this knowledge. But actually, that's different. This is this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is different types of secret, of confidential. It's not secret, it's available to everyone. But everyone will choose, the difference which is made if people choose to accept this knowledge or not. It's not this knowledge is available. You go in a shop and you can buy a Bhagavad Gita. It's very practical. You go on the street and you offer a Bhagavad Gita to anyone. Hey, hi, here's a book. And then, so this knowledge is quite, which is so confidential, is quite available for everyone. But everyone has the free will, and they choose, I want to accept this knowledge or not. So it's a strange type of confidential knowledge. Like, you have it here, and it's still confidential. And even if you read it, it's still confidential. How does it work? Anyway, because everyone has free will and we choose if you accept this confidential knowledge or not. And then it goes even further that Krishna and Srila Vyasadeva, they come, they present this knowledge, and then devotees are even more merciful. And they are like, you want this knowledge? No. Okay, we'll find some way.
Was like, you don't want it?
No, I don't touch it. Okay. No, don't worry. I will find some way.
We'll take you somehow into Krishna consciousness. So actually, that's what devotees are doing most of the times. I don't remember exactly the words, but Srila Prabhupada asked one time his disciples, is the spiritual master tricky or something like this? I don't remember the word he used. I said, no, Srila Prabhupada, you know, like, your spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada comes and asks you, is the spiritual master tricky? No. It's very, very serious, the spiritual master. Okay. And he's asking them three times, is the spiritual master tricky? And no, Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada is smiling and said, how come it's not tricky? Because none of you were planning to become Krishna conscious. But somehow, I got you. I tricked you somehow. So that's the duty of the devotees. Somehow, to trick people into Krishna consciousness. And there's this I was searching for this verse, which is a bit famous, by Srila Rupa Goswami, because Srila Rupa Goswami says how you make someone Krishna conscious, and then he doesn't give some specific ingredients. Okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, this formula. And there's this verse, I found, I was searching for it to find the exact translation, and then I found in this class from Sharapa, I found this part, which is very, very interesting for me. Sharapa says, this is Krishna consciousness movement. Somehow or other, you increase your attachment for Krishna. Some way or another. Then he quotes this verse from Bhaktivinoda Singh, Janatana Prakarena Mana Krishna Nivashaya. This is Rupa Goswami's instruction. Somehow or other, you become attached to Krishna. Then your life is successful. So this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to induce people how to become attached to Krishna. That is Bhakti Yoga. Janatana Prakarena Mana Krishna Nivashaya. Then, Kriji Nishada. There are so many rules and regulations for Bhakti Yoga. Yeah, Rupa Goswami says, Sarvajiji Nishada Suratayor Eva Kinkara. Some way or other, if you become attached to Krishna, then all the vidis and regulative principles and rules and regulations, they will act at your side. They will automatically. Because as soon as you become attached to Krishna, Krishna said, Shibram Bhavati Dharma. Then he quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita and he says, very soon. So the trick, the idea is, Srila Prabhupada doesn't give a formula, you know, like this formula, you put 10% this, 20% this. He says, somehow or other, you become Krishna consciousness. And then rules and regulations, yes, there's so many rules and regulations, yes, they're important, but they will follow. The important thing is, how to become somehow attached to Krishna. In the same mode, Srila Vyasadeva is composing so much Vedic literature. So much Vedic literature, if not, it's millions of verses and hundreds of millions, I don't know exactly. Quite a lot. And in which he's saying the same thing. Like Krishna here is saying, okay, there's the individual soul, there's Paramatma, and there's Bhagavan. And if you understand this, then you do some devotional service. It's simple, isn't it? In every part of the Bhagavad Gita is saying the same thing. Differently. With different words, but just saying the same thing. Right. So similar, all this Vedic literature, they're trying from different angles how to make people come closer to Krishna. So that's you want to eat meat? No problems. Of course you can eat meat, you know, like more or less encouraging. And then they say, yes, but just chant Hare Krishna. I'm just just do these things while you eat meat. No problem. No, just do something. Add some Krishna consciousness to whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter. Like Srila Prabhupada said at some point about a drunkard. I don't know if he said to him or about him that yes, it's all right to drink wine, but you should think that Krishna is the taste of wine. If you hear this, you know, like the founder Acharya, you're like, Chintibo, the founder Acharya, how does it... No, Srila Prabhupada is devising this, like, because Srila Prabhupada understands very well what's the position of this person in front of him, and what he can ask from him, and what he cannot ask from him. It's very, very clear, you know, like, of course, Srila Prabhupada is not saying, okay, then, of course, don't drink just one glass, drink five. No, of course, Srila Prabhupada, but that's a way in how you present things, how you bring people to that platform. People are here, you want to bring them here. How do you bring them from here to here? Very, very interesting. You have to be very... So the idea is that some things can be too much for some people. The main point is not so much rules and regulations. The main point is to become more attached to Krishna, to make some advancement in some way or another. The rules and regulations, they'll come after you get attached to Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada said in this class automatically. I mean, it's usually not automatically, but it's easier. Because also sometimes we get in this mood that we are so attached to rules and regulations, you know, like you can wake up at 2 in the morning and chant all your rounds before Mangala, which is amazing, you know. It's very good if you can do it. But this doesn't guarantee anything. Rules and regulations don't guarantee, okay, I woke up before Mangala, Krishna will come and... Maybe not. Sometimes you can see people wake up at 2 for some 1 week, 2 weeks, and then they disappear. Like, what is this guy? he was a pure devotee 2 weeks ago, but now where is he? This is not about karma mimamsa. This is this philosophy. Okay, I'm doing this, and then Krishna is obliged to reciprocate because I'm such a pure devotee. I woke up at 2 o'clock as I chanted my rounds before Mangala. Wow, no, Krishna is not obliged. No, sometimes he will just help us somehow ruin our sadhana, just to make us more humble, that we're like, maybe praying. Okay, maybe I need Krishna also. Ah, okay. So then you'll be like, wake up at 5 and barely make it for Mangala. But you are in more prayerful mood. You're like, oh, Krishna, I actually need some help this time. But, okay, now we're talking. Now we can have a relationship. Now we can speak something. So the idea is rules and regulations, they are of course useful, you know. Srila Rupa Goswami speaks about Niyamagraha, six things that destroy devotional service, and one of them is called Niyamagraha. And then there's two readings of this Niyamagraha, which means one of them is that you don't care about the rules. The other is that this is one extreme, and the other is that you're just all about rules, and you don't understand principles behind.
So I'm like, okay, I have to do this, 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 this.
Yes.
But so yeah, for example, that's the different rules and regulations. So the idea is that we should not fall into this trap of being rules and regulation. You know, like rules and regulation are important, and we should follow this, but we should understand why and how, and not be fanatic about it. And we can see that Shila Vyasadeva is presenting Vedic knowledge from so many different angles. You know, like so many things said in so many different ways. And we should be aware of that, because Krishna consciousness is not one size fits all.
That's in Romania, there's this book which I never read, but I heard the title. It's called Bed of Propus. And this guy was some guy who I read, you know, because it was mandatory somehow. So I read the sun, you know, I should do it. And this guy had a bed, and everyone would have to fit on his bed, you know, like. And if someone was too tall, he would cut this from the legs. And if someone was too short, he would use a hammer and, you know, like, prolong their body somehow. Because everyone should have should fit into his bed, you know, like this is my bed, and everyone should be like this. You know, this is a perfect world. So yeah, there's Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness is not one size fits all. Krishna consciousness means that everyone is different, you know. And
as His Holiness Prahladananda Swami says, different folks, different strokes. Different people, different positions, different styles of Krishna consciousness, different ways to engage in Krishna consciousness. So, that's what makes preaching very artistic somehow. And it's not we have this formula. Okay, welcome. From today, you're not eating meat anymore. You're not drinking alcohol. You're not stop smoking. That is okay. Got it? Okay. Perfect. It's not like that. It's always thinking about how to make the person in front of you make some advancement, and what can they accept, and what can they not accept. And what's realistic? Like in this case, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can drink wine, because he's gonna do it anyway. And in some way he said, okay, but you just add some Krishna in some in your life, and somehow you get purified. And there's always people you meet, and this also applies for us. I mean, maybe not with eating meat and drinking wine and so on. Probably now the devotees are following some principles, but with other things, it applies. Some things are really easy to accept, really easy to do, you know. And some things, you know, like it's like just don't ask that, you know. And we should know when we try to help people. We should understand what's the things that they can do and what's the things that they cannot do. If something they cannot do now, just drop it, just leave it, just later, you know. Like, just help them somehow, in some way, to become more Krishna conscious and something like that. Because some people are attracted to some things, and everyone will be attracted to take some prasad. That's a classical example. But also other things, you know, like some people will be attracted to chanting. For some people, to become vegetarian is like, oh my god. And for some people, it's like, oh, okay, so I have to become vegetarian. Yeah, okay. What do I eat? Oh, rice and some beans.
Okay.
From tomorrow, no problem. So you have to see where is everyone.
And also, there's not on this topic, it's not one size fits all. Like, you have examples. If you're a bit fanatic, you have to say, okay, I have that this Brahma Varna Shama system. And this new guy comes to the temple, and he's like, you're like, okay, are you Grihastha or are you Brahmachari? Well, no, you just started chanting, you're chanting one round of Hare Krishna since yesterday, so we have to clarify, are you Grihastha or Brahmachari?
Come on!
And then, you know, that's a clear dilemma. To be either because this Varnashrama, of course, this Varnashrama is very nice, but who is coming from a background where he applied Varnashrama system in the past, you know, like you come to Krishna consciousness at 35, you have a girlfriend or not, you know, like you have a job or not, you can move in the temple to get some brahmachari training or not. No, that's very complicated situation, you know, like it's not just like, okay, now you have to decide, okay, you're working here, or you're working, or you're moving in the temple. And in many cases, it's very complex, and in many cases, there's many shades of gray. It's not black and white, you know, like, when I first heard of these cases, I thought this is brilliant, you know, like, we have Dobrin, our friend, we don't know what he is, he comes to the temple three or four days every week, and 4 days is, 3 days is brahmachari. And then he goes home, and then he's a grihastha. Takes care of his child, and he has his job, and his so many times the solution is like that, and you're like, come on, but this is not Vedic. Whatever, you know. So the idea is, if you fall into this idea of rules and regulation, you might think it has to be black or white. But many times, the principle behind Varnashrama, the most important principle of Varnashrama, is that you have to, at least how you can apply it in our cases, is that you have to position yourself in a way that you can become more Krishna conscious. That's the principle. And that's why there's some division, but in practical situations, there are devotees who don't live in the temple and are not married. Right. They have a job and they do some service in the temple. There's so many, you know, like different. And also, these kind of decisions, they are quite important and they are quite hard to take. So, should I marry or should I not get married? And many times you have to take them in a state of consciousness where you're purified a bit. You know, like you when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was going to the temple and then I was thinking, I was looking around, it's like, oh, this Mataji came 2 times for Sunday feast. This looks very spiritual. So I was thinking, I would like to enjoy, but after some time practicing, I realized, okay, this is really not the direction for me, you know, like, maybe for someone else. Anyway, so the idea, in many cases, you have to get to purify yourself a bit, and then take such decisions. And then you can take this decision in a state of mind where you're a bit balance, you're not just like, oh, nice, you know, okay, but that's not how you make decisions. And so this is not like police academy test. This there's this joke in Romania
They have this test on the police academy. They have this thing with holes in it, and they have this square and this round thing and this triangle. And it's very complicated test. You would have to put a triangle through the triangle hole, and then you have to put the square to the square hole, and you have to put a round thing to the round hole. And you're like, okay, very, very complicated. And apparently, it's, you know, like they say that policemen are not very intelligent. So after the test, they found out that 5% of the policemen are intelligent. And 5% are powerful. they put the round thing to the to the square thing somehow. so that's the idea. So in Chandra Bhavani Swami gave this example that in New Vrindavan. There was this guy who came and he had a PhD, and the authorities there, in the beginning many interesting things happened in this country, also sometimes. So the authorities looked at him and said, oh, PhD, okay, this means, for us this means pothole digger. So they wanted to build up a fence, and they need someone to dig some holes. So PhD for us comes from pothole digger. So anyway, that's a complex topic. But the idea is we should understand that Krishna consciousness is not something at one size fits all, and we should use our intelligence how to engage ourselves and others, and how to put ourselves in the position where we can, and others in a position how of making further advancement in Krishna consciousness, whatever that is. And this requires, you know, like some, there's no easy way, usually, you know, like there's no quick formulas, there's requires some intelligence and some maturity. Well, you should be aware of it, so if you try, you know, like Krishna will give some intelligence, how to do it and how to, yeah. Anyway, I was talking to some devotees this weekend, and I just wanted to share this thoughts. So, there's some questions, comments. We have a microphone somewhere.
Yeah, I need a temperature for a single.
It's there.
Okay.
Hi, Shakrani. Thank you for the lecture. When you talk about this verse, very confidential knowledge, you motivate me to think, so maybe you can expand with your thoughts if you have means of two. So when I read this verse, I start really to think what that means, and maybe example that can be given, when you there is a many language, you know, in the world. So something can be written down in some language which you don't understand, but it's written very clearly for somebody who understands this language, is very clear for him. So it is the same example in the spiritual science. So everything is clear, actually, but there is a qualification for the person who reads or sees this science. So we need to get some qualification. For example, for this person, they need to learn this language. So we need to expand our consciousness to understand this confidential knowledge. So this is some thoughts on this topic, which may be interesting for somebody. Yeah. So qualification is in Shastras, you know, what we need to give, you know, in a matter of practice, in a matter of faith, to understand actually this science.
Yeah, and that's a different staging. So you can have different views on this. You can have theoretical knowledge and you can have applied knowledge. You know, like sometimes you see some people, they can quote the verses, you know, like, they can quote like anything. And then you see, if you really understand, how do you apply this? How do we integrate this? Then this is even more important, because yeah, you can say yes, this, you can quote some verses, so you can teach a parent to.
Yeah.
But this is, and this, usually how it comes, this realization comes by mercy. It's direct, it's indirect, you know, like this mercy of the devotee. This is very, like this experience, you know, like you have also in Sankirtan or some other things, because in Sankirtan they say your sadhana has to be strong, serious and sincere. We heard this many times, and which is true, yes, of course, you have to wake up in the morning and chant 16 good rounds, you just chant in one seat, and sometimes you do that and you're like, okay, and sometimes you don't do any of this, and somehow you get the mercy of some devotees. And you're flying, you're like, oh my God. So this is my realization. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting somehow or other, like the Prabhupada Swami says, getting the mercy of the devotees, of senior devotees. And get this somehow. And then you can understand this confidential knowledge. And of course, it's not, like I said before, it's not black and white. It's not you understand or you don't understand. It's you understand a bit more, I think. So as Prabhupada Swami sometimes gives this example with Prabhupada, this disciple who went to Prabhupada and he said, thank you, Prabhupada, I was in Maya. Prabhupada looked at him and said, you're always in Maya, just you're a bit more out of Maya.